Well, let me pray as I begin. Our Father in heaven, would you please help us to be ready for the coming King as we celebrate Christmas. Help us to be ready by listening to your word and responding to it as we should. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder, do you really think that God's plan in the world is good? Do you think he's got a good plan? Do you think he's a good God? Because in our culture today, that's really under threat, isn't it? If you've doubted it, it's probably because a lot of people around us are saying that's exactly the opposite. If God would just get his fingertips out of the world would be better. If Christians would just be quiet, the world would be better. Now, leave aside the fact that Christians sometimes go about it badly. Is God's plan actually good for the world? Is it good for us? Would it be a terrible thing if he did up and leave? Well, as we think about getting ready for Christmas, being ready for the birth of this King, and thinking again through what it means for us to live as this King's people, I want to say a resounding yes. God's plan is good for the world. God's plan is good for us. God is good. And we see it again at Christmas. We see it again in the readings before us today. So we're going to unpack this idea by looking at three points. God's King is good. God's kingdom is good. And God's call is good. If you have got your Bible open, and I encourage you to keep it open, look with me at the Isaiah 11 passage, because we're going to start there this morning. God's King. Look at what we're told about God's King in the Isaiah passage. Now, just a little bit of context for those who are not history buffs. This passage is written to Israel, to God's people Israel, who have just been taken into the exile by the Assyrians. They're in a bad place, they're in a bad way, they're utterly overcome, and yet into this captivity, God brings this message of hope, this word of hope and of promise to them. A king is coming, a king in the line of David, David being the son of Jesse. That's the point of that stump of Jesse and root of Jesse. This promised king is still coming. God has not forgotten his promise. Can you imagine what this weighty hope would have been if you've just been uprooted from your home and taken off into captivity in Assyria? The king is coming, and he will bear fruit. He will not be overthrown like previous kings. But particularly as we look at this passage and think about this idea, is God really good for the world? Is he really good for us? I want us to notice the characteristics and attributes of this King from God. So look with me from Isaiah 11. Notice that in verse 2, he will have the divine spirit of God resting on him. This King will have the indwelt spirit of God living in him. And by this Spirit of God, this King will be gifted in divine wisdom, in understanding, in counsel and might, in knowledge of God and fear of the Lord. Now, all of those things are really easy to say, aren't they? But aren't they the sorts of things we want in a king, in a supreme ruler? Wouldn't it be amazing in our world to know that the King, the one who rules over us, is full of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge of God and fear of the Lord? Notice that this King isn't just smart, isn't just academic and perceptive. He's not just knowledgeable and wise, but he lives in right fear of the Lord. That is, he's always in right obedience and right awe to God. He delights, in fact, we're told, delights in the reverence and awe that God is due. This king knows he will give an account to God for his kingship. And that changes everything. He delights to live under God's plan, under his authority, under his majesty. This is what it is to live in right fear of the Lord. And this king from God delights in the fear of the Lord in verse 3. And this saviour king, this indwelt by the Spirit king, this one who delights in the fear of the Lord, notice how he rules. It says that he rules there with perfect righteousness and justice. Perfect righteousness and justice. This king is never fooled by appearances. You know, the way it's so frustrating when you see it happening in society that people get away with obvious things because they look good from the outside, but you know something of what's really going on behind the scenes. The injustice of that, doesn't it grate against all of us? And we've all of us seen it, either personally or in our society somewhere. This king from God, he'll never be fooled by that. He'll never have the wool pulled over his eyes and not know the truth. And the way that he will rule in righteousness and justice will be for the good of the needy and the good of the poor. Those who are usually most easily oppressed and taken advantage of by corrupt leadership, this king will have a special regard for them. Look with me from the second half of verse 3. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. And then on to verse 5, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Righteousness and faithfulness and justice, these are the things that adorn the reign of this king from God. Isn't this exactly the type of ruler and leader that we want? Actually, if we're true with ourselves, isn't that what we crave in our world? We all of us probably know to a small extent how awful it is when injustice happens to us, when we're misrepresented and that becomes known. But we do live in a super blessed place and lifestyle here in Australia, so we can become a bit blasé about it, I think. But imagine we were the Israelites living in exile. Or imagine we lived in North Korea today. Imagine we lived under the threat of ISIS today. Wouldn't we be crying out for exactly this type of king? This king who is filled with the Spirit of the Lord, who rules with wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, who is never tricked or has the wool pulled over his eyes by anyone or anything. He sees the heart and he always judges rightly. And he uses his power for righteousness and faithfulness and justice. How much would we also be hanging out for this king? This king is a good king. God's plan to send this king is a good plan. It's good for us and it's good for the whole world. Still not quite convinced, have a look at the kingdom that this king ushers in. From verse 6 in chapter 11 of Isaiah. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They'll neither harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Did you notice that this kingdom that the king is bringing in is a kingdom of peace and harmony and safety? The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the calf and the lion. One of those is usually lunch for the other one, right? But not in this kingdom. Not in this kingdom. There's some thought in the commentaries about whether these are representative of some of the nations around at the time or whether it's supposed to be literally the lion and the lamb. I don't think it matters that much really, because the picture here is one of going back to Eden, one of perfection, one of safety and harmony. I'm not that keen about the idea of putting my hand in a cobra's den, but in this kingdom, there's nothing to fear. This king rules so completely and with such justice and goodness that there is nothing to fear. Everything is in right order, exactly as it should be, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is, we also will know God truly, just like the king does. God's kingdom also will fear the Lord and desire justice and righteousness, just like the king does. This is the sort of kingdom, surely, that we are picturing, that we are desiring in our heart of hearts. Notice also that this is where all peoples from all nations rally to the king of the kingdom. The king of the kingdom leads the way. He is a banner for all the peoples. The nations rally to him in verse 10, and his resting place is glorious. A world at peace. A world living in safety and harmony with each other and all of creation. No dictator or corrupt leader pulling anyone down, least of all the vulnerable. And all of this because God's good plan is to send his good king, the son of David, the root of Jesse, to be the king of this kingdom. Is God's plan good for the world? Is God's plan good for us? Well, I've missed a little bit, though, in the passage, haven't I? Those of you who are following along will notice I skipped over one small section in verse 4. It says, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. It fits in rather well, actually, with our Matthew 3 passage as well. Because actually a cry for harmony and peace in our corrupt and broken world is a cry for justice. A cry for the king to come and rule his kingdom here on earth is a cry for justice. And it's easy to see that and think, good, I am glad that ISIS will not win because the king of justice is coming. I am glad that the North Korean dictator will not win because the king of justice is coming. But here's the rub of the story as well, isn't it? Very quickly, when we think about justice, we quickly realize that we too are caught up in the injustices and brokenness of this world. And so we hear John the Baptist cry, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. And it has to be to us too. It's not just to the corrupt dictator of North Korea. It's not just to those who lord it over the weak and vulnerable. It's to me. And it's to you. Because this king of justice, who will always judge rightly and never be tricked by anything, he is coming to judge the world. He is coming to set all things right, to return us to God's good plan and purposes for us of paradise and living in that kingdom with the king as king. And yet, therefore, each of us needs to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, this is actually this call from God in the Christmas message, this call to get ready for the king. Do business with God now because the king is coming. This is actually also a good planned from God. God is good. His king is good. His kingdom is good. And his call to repent is good. Because he's saying now is the time. It's not too late. Now is the time to do business with God. It's not too late. I know it's easy for each of us to actually, when we stop and think about it, recognise the wickedness and injustice in our own heart. I was ordained as a priest 8 days ago. It took me about 36 hours to get really cranky and grumbly with my family. And isn't it the case that usually those who are closest to us in our circle are the hardest to actually live out Christian love with? They're the ones that annoy me the quickest. They're the ones who will see my impatience and grumbling and feel the brunt of it the worst. And I'm not proud of that, actually. I had to ring them all this week and say, I'm sorry, you came all this way to see me. And I was a bit of a ratbag on Monday. We need to have those moments of honesty, don't we, before God and say, I'm not right. I need the King of Justice to come and rule in my heart. I need his forgiveness. And you know, we as church people are actually sometimes the most, we're lulled into a false security sometimes. And I think that's what John the Baptist is talking about here when he talks to the religious people, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who have grown up knowing God's promises but not actually living them. Knowing God's word, but not actually living it. And yet feeling incredibly safe in that. And John the Baptist says to them, do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. It's a stern warning for all of us that even if we have grown up in church, if we have never turned back to Jesus and said to him, you be my king, I am sorry for the injustices I have done. I deserve your righteous judgment, but forgive me. Repent. That's what repenting is. It's turning, instead of going away from God, it's turning back to God and saying, take me, forgive me. And the promise is that he does, and he will. But we have to come to him and ask. So is God's plan for the world good? Yes. He's got a wonderful plan for the world. He is sending his king. One day Jesus is coming back in his full glory, when every knee will bow before him and every lip will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No one will escape knowing that. That is going to be a good day. Is Jesus' kingdom good? Yes. Where he rules as king in righteousness and justice and harmony and peace and faithfulness. And he makes us to be like him, full of the fear of the Lord, full of the Spirit of God, full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yes, it's going to be good. And is God's call now to us also good? Yes. It's a call to get ready. Are you ready for this king? So friends, if you already do know Jesus, if he is your king, go into the world this Advent season confident that what we share with others, this good gospel, is good. It's good for your friend. It's good for your family. It's good for your neighbour that you long to share with them. Pray for them. Pray that God's Spirit would move in them to bring it to life. But share it with great love and great confidence that this is good news. And if you're here and you've not yet heard that call, you haven't yet responded in repentance and turned back to let Jesus be your king, can I encourage you, today's the day. This is a good king, a good kingdom and a good call. So hear the call. Turn back to God in repentance. Be forgiven. Be caught up in his good kingdom forever. Let me pray. Oh God, thank you that you haven't given up on the world. Thank you that you've called us through your King Jesus to be your people. That you've sent us out into the world as light in the darkness with a good message for the world. So please give us absolute confidence in your goodness, in your good King, in your good kingdom. And help us to believe and trust our lives to Jesus. And as we share of him in the world, in whatever opportunities you give us, in our words and also in the way that we live our lives and serve others, would you give us great confidence that you will save people and bring more into this kingdom of Jesus? For we ask it in his name. Amen.